This is Pat Meltzer with Bernice Alpern. It's side two of take two, the oral history interview phase two that we're doing with Mrs. Ida Notoff today, March the 30th, 1987. Mrs. Notoff, we were talking about your involvement with the hospice, and you discussed your work as a friendly visitor. Could you tell us a little about the bereavement committee and the pastoral committee, both of which you have membership on?
With the bereavement committee, we visit the family members after the passing of their beloved ones, and either we go to their home, I go to their home, or a telephone calls, and usually that continues for about a year. Mm-hmm. And during the course of the year, there's about maybe four or five visits, or maybe six visits, and the rest of it, as I see it, is on the telephone, just talking to them, consoling them. Sometimes I'll meet them for lunch, and every bit of it does help. They appreciate it, and if they haven't known what it's all about, they learn. They want to learn, and they need the help. They really need the help that mm-hmm. they get from the volunteers.
And how does the pastoral committee fit in with the bereavement committee and also the visitors?
The pastoral committee, we had a meeting last Monday evening. That has to do, there's a committee, and we discuss how to approach the members of the family, what to say to them, and how to say it. There is a way that you have to approach them, and not all the members, the family members, need the same encouragement. To each his own. Each one is different, and what it teaches us is the basics. We all give at the meetings our opinions and suggestions. And last week we had a reverend that gave us some basic ideas, etc. And then we practice it, and then we try to pass it on to the other volunteers. And that too, that program is a 1-year program, like.
Mm-hmm. That's a wonderful thing to do. All of these volunteer activities are just wonderful. I also understand that you have worked with the mentally ill, and belong to an organization, I believe, called Standout Stigma, and the second thing would be catering dinners for the physically and mentally disabled in your home. I wonder if you could tell us some more about those activities.
Well, the Standout Stigma, that is with the United Mental Health. I'm involved with that, and we try to establish a way where these mentally ill should not be ridiculed, should not be underestimated in any way at all. We want to make sure that they are treated like any other human beings, because mental illness is actually the same as any other illness. I mean, that goes to Western Psych, where I work too. But it's also very encouraging, because by practicing that and by talking about it, finally you open up people's thoughts, and they do seem to adhere and also try to treat their fellow man with more kindness and more compassion.
Do you deal with perhaps making up booklets or doing little television messages to the public, telling them, educating them more in the ways of mental illness and how
we write letters
people should
to the
be
press. To we the write letters to the press and radio called in, etc. That's at the United Mental Health. Now, my work with the mentally retarded, as far as home dinners, I have started that in 1977, as I had given you that brochure that you have on hand, and usually these people, they they're made up of not only Jewish patients, there are also different creeds and nationalities. I had them over from the Ebensburg Center. I had them over from Dixmont, from Mayview, and so on. Some of them are really not, they're like nothing to them. They brought one in a carriage, in a baby carriage, with a large baby carriage, and they brought him up here. And they send with each of these ones that are incapacitated, they sent a worker along with them. And I showed you before some pictures, just a few pictures. I had about 18 over. This dining room is a little small, but somehow we made room, and I had roses, and I had fine dishes and all, and it seemed like people don't feel that they want to have them at home, and I was even asked how come that I do that, because they would be afraid I would break up things and mess up the dishes and whatever. I had no problems. They behaved beautifully. The only thing is I had my chairs covered, you know, when they sit down, sure. That's all. And I showed you the menu. You said it's like a restaurant menu. I think it's more than a restaurant menu, really.
Yes, we have the menu and with the other brochures and things like that. Very nice of you to deal with people like that, and I'm sure it's also rewarding for you as well.
It's more rewarding than if you entertain your friends, because they can do themselves. And,
sure. May I interrupt you?
Sure.
What was the name of the center that you mentioned?
The Ebensburg Center.
Ebensburg.
Ebensburg. Ebensburg.
Thank you.
And also in...
I thought that was from another part of Pennsylvania.
Well, they brought them over here.
They
brought them over for Thanksgiving and for also for... Passover.
Okay. Mm-hmm. They came a long way. I know Dixmont is up near Wickley or someplace. That's a good way, but that's even further.
Cannonsburg, they have a big place in Cannonsburg. I had them over from Cannonsburg too. And one of the, this clergy that was here that afternoon, each one gave a little speech like, and he compared me to Abraham. Kind of, I was all choked up because he said, well, we know that Abraham used to sit on the steps outside and call people in, poor people in, you know, to indulge in food, and he compared me to them.
A wonderful compliment.
I think I gave you some info about Mr. Nikolashev from Ebensburg. He wrote letters to the, that came into the Chronicle. I mean, I had nothing to do with that.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of the mentally ill, I understand that you also do volunteer work for Western Psychiatric Institute, and the two things that I noted from there was that you were a friendly visitor over there. I assume that that's approximately the same thing as you do at Presbyterian, where you visit the patients and speak with them, do psychotherapy?
I'm even more involved there. It seems like the doctors and the nurses trust me, and sometimes there's a very depressed patient, and when I come in, they'll say, Ida, so-and-so needs help, see what you can do with them. And that gives me gives me kind of a little superiority, you know,
sure.
And I'm with them, and I know with God's will I help them, because I've had them tell me that I'm a miracle worker, that I'm a healer, et cetera, et cetera. I also help in the kitchen feeding them. I make up the menus, and I have a great, beautiful relationship there, again, with the doctors and the nurses and the volunteer director. In fact, she's going to bring me home tonight from the dinner. We're having a volunteer dinner tonight at the Western Psych.
Oh, how nice.
So I got a letter on Friday congratulating me. It's 4 years that I'm there, and I have never missed a day, not
mm-hmm.
1 week. So, but it's very fulfilling. I call it, all this work that I do, I shortchange myself materially, because I could work and do much better. But
mm-hmm.
I call this preventive medication to me, because it really does help me. It seems that again, I have to say God is good to me, and I don't see doctors. I was never operated. I go for a checkup now and then, but that's it.
Could you tell us a little about your work with the senior citizens at the Riverview Center?
At the Riverview Center, I visit with them not too often, but I give a program about once or twice a year. I gave a program this past a week ago Sunday night at the Riverview Apartments. There is a Riverview Center for the Jewish Seniors, what they call, and also the Riverview Apartments. And I am not an entertainer, and I'm not a singer, and I'm not a dancer, but I do a little bit of it for them. And the reason I do it, first of all, I start out with doing prayers from the Siddur to my own melodies, etc. And then I go into English, Jewish, Russian, Hebrew songs. And the reason I do that, they call me the singing grandmother, and this is what I was called in that item that I gave you that Marcia Gross wrote about me. I sing all the time, and it seems that the bluer I am, the more I sing. When things get to me, I can always tell when things are getting me because I sing louder.
Mm-hmm.
And I do that because I bring memories to them. And like I told them that Sunday, that if they can only leave the auditorium with a little song or a little melody that I have, you know, brought to them, that'll be my reward, because I feel that music is very healing. I think it's a healer. I think it does much for you mentally and physically.
I think so, too. I agree with you, and I'm sure that there was a lot of healing that went on and will go on in the future at the Riverview Center.
Thank you.
This is something a little different on your volunteer activities. I noticed that you are a mediator for dry cleaning disputes for the Better Business Bureau. Can
yes.
you tell us how you got involved with that?
Oh, yes. I was in the dry cleaning business for about, I guess, about 14, 15 years. And I also worked only, I had one job that I was office manager, bookkeeper, et cetera, in the dry cleaning plant. And then in the dry cleaning, there's a lot of troubles. There really are. You know, somebody brings in a garment and they say to ruin it, and something happens, and then there's problems. Well, what I do is they got me for that job because they remember when I was in business, I never had any problems, but if they needed somebody, they always called me to look at the garment and to check to see what my interpretation is, who is wrong and who's right. So I think about a year and a half ago, Marcia called me from the Better Business Bureau. She's the head of the Better Business Bureau, and she wanted to know if I could help them out, if I could be the mediator for the in a dry cleaning. And I did commit myself, and I go down once a week, and I was there last Friday, but I didn't finish, so I'm going tomorrow. When I get through with my class, I'll be going there in the afternoon. And what I do is I look at the complaint, and sometimes I bring in the garment. When they bring in the garment, it's much easier because then I can analyze the garment. But if they don't, through their letter to what they say, I call the dry cleaner and I call the customer. And I would say that 80% of the time we come to some sort of a satisfactory solution there. So, but the dry cleaning department is all mine there. I take care of that. That goes for draperies and other domestic items, you know, whatever.
Very good. I'm sure you do lots of good there also. You had mentioned as well the College of Advanced Jewish Studies. Do you do volunteer work there, or were
no,
you
I'm a member.
Something?
I'm marked that as a member. My daughter, my younger daughter, graduated there. I've been a member though, even after she graduated. That's years and years ago. And I think it's a great organization, and I try to keep going, even though my daughter is no longer here. She is a Hebrew teacher. She went to the Hebrew University in Jerusalem, and she, as I said, she teaches Hebrew now. I also try to maintain my membership in the Pittsburgh Concert Society. That's where my older daughter, she's a concert pianist, and this is where she was, she won the audition at the Pittsburgh Concert Society, which you've heard me of, Harry Franklin, that was her instructor. So I keep that up, but I mean, that doesn't require any time.
Mm-hmm.
That just requires financial aid, you know.
Sure, and backing and support. We understand that you have been nominated, very deservedly so, for some senior volunteer awards, and you have received a letter from President Reagan and some other things. Could you tell us something about that?
Without my knowledge, one of the nurses asked me once if I would give her a little bit of material on me that she would like to. She heard on the radio that they're looking for award for giving awards. That's from the president, and she wrote a letter. I have a copy of the letter, and she told them all about me. I think you have the letter.
Yes, we
did. Did I give it to you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I got a reply from the president and Nancy Reagan. I didn't get. I wasn't. I mean, I wasn't selected as the volunteer of the year,
mm-hmm.
but very, very favorable comments, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's quite an honor even to be nominated for that award, even though you maybe aren't picked out of everyone in the whole country.
Right.
That's very good. All right, we are going to be touching on another section here, and Mrs. Notov, I wonder if you could tell us how you view your greatest accomplishments, successes, and maybe what you consider to be a failure in your life to date.
What I do not consider a failure. My accomplishments are fulfilling, they're strengthening, and I have something to hold on to. Because of my heritage and my belief in the Almighty, I feel that whatever I do, it is not I. I deem myself Hashem's shelicha, His messenger, and it's strengthening. I always have to use the word strengthening and fulfilling because you can help others, and this is what it's all about. I feel that everything is transitory that we have here, and as they say, vanity of vanities, eidol avonim. But being that I'm such a firm believer in the here and after, what I do, I try to see. I get double benefit. It's all this and heaven too, as they say. I get rewarded here because of the respect and the love that comes to you from the feedback from your fellow man. But also, I deem this as my wealth, my certificates and my savings, et cetera, et cetera, to take along with me. I fully believe, and I can say in my own way, and people say, well, what proof do you have? Well, if you live that way, and if you feel that he is here, he's with me, and that whatever happens, I attribute to his mercy. There are a lot of as far as pains, trials, tribulations. Yes, I had a beautiful mother. I have her picture here. God took her at 47. But what is there to do? Because with faith, you ask no questions, and without faith, you get no answers. So I've accepted it, and I lost my husband. He was 55. There was falling down, and again, with God's help, I lifted myself up. If you ever watch a baby, when they learn how to walk, they'll try to walk, and then they'll stumble over, you know, and then they get up again and lift themselves up. That's what I had to do. That's what my role was when I lost my husband. My mother and I were very inseparable. And to this day, I have, when I place the candlesticks here, after I take them off from the Shabbat table on Saturday night, if you notice, they're in the front. They're always in the front. And I feel that my beloved ones have not left me. And it might be a very, maybe it's irrational or what, but it does me good. And I can say that that gives me courage to go on, to know that they're with me. And again, I just have this feeling that that they are with me. And it's a grand feeling. So as I said, I try to think of all the positives, the pluses, instead of the failures, because thinking of the failures is not going to help me go on.
Mm-hmm.
And for this reason, I do what I'm doing, and each day that I can help someone, I do it, and I do it with all my heart, because even volunteering, it's not, volunteering is a responsibility, and it's a sacrifice. But then it becomes something that's very, it's malignant, it's cancerous. I mean, it just doesn't leave you be, it's with you. And I just can't see myself now that I would want to, how would I live if I would give it up, is the way I feel. If I don't come, I don't remember the time when I wasn't, when I missed the Presby now, other than I go to New York to see my daughter sometimes on the weekend. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, I'm there, rain or shine. The same thing with the other places that I visit with people.
So then it sounds like you're saying basically that you are very satisfied with the way in which you have lived your life. Would you say that?
Yes, I can say that nothing was perfect, and again. I don't think the Almighty expects us to be perfect, but I feel that I have done my best, and this is all I can do. I mean, I can't, something that can't be done, something that I can't have, I don't miss. And if I would, and then when I see what goes on in this world, and if I wouldn't think positively, first of all, I couldn't help others if I would be a crepe hanger, because if you like yourself, you like others. So it's fulfilling. I can say it's fulfilling. I'm never lonely. I never feel alone. When I get lonely, I mean, if it does hit you, if I feel it coming on, I try to push it away, and I try to change my trend of thought to the positive, which helps.
Certainly does. This is No Talk. I wonder if you would do one of the chants for us that you do for the citizens at Riverview. I believe that this chant sums up your whole philosophy of life.
Thank you. I'm glad to do it because this gives me a chance to mention God's name. And this is what it's all about. Because in Exodus, God tells us, wherever place my name is mentioned, I shall come to thee and bless thee. And he blesses me, and his name to me is holy. It's everything my life stands for. Ketanti mikol ha-chesidim u-mikol ha-emet. Ketanti mikol ha-chesidim. Oh, me call, me call, I am Bawashu, Lai Hadoi Sham, Kawal Tadamula, Aloi. Bawashu, Lai Hadoi Sham, Kawal Tadamula, Aloi. Hashem, Hashem Tzuri, Hashem Gayadi, Hashem, Hashem Tzuri, Hashem Gayadi.
An English translation of Mrs. Notov's prayer is, I thank you, God, although I am unworthy, for all the mercies and goodness bestowed on men. What can I do to show my gratefulness? This is the end of our interview with Mrs. Ida Notov, and this is also the end of tape 2, side 2.